Hey guys, welcome to the Goob You Podcast, episode 5. We've got the sus boss, Ross Flanagan, here. He made a huge announcement that we're going to talk about on the promo. We'll probably talk about it towards the end of this episode. We got a banger for you today. We're going to start off with a story that ruined my week. Honestly, ruined my week. Ross, you get people that, like clients, they text you and they have injuries and stuff, and you kind of got to like work through it. And usually for me, it's like I want to figure out what you were doing and then talk about that and then get photos and just go through it. Usually it's not like a significant injury. Usually it's a pull or they're, you know, being a little, I don't want to say like not hypochondriac, but you notice it's the same people sometimes that always have an issue. And they're like, oh, I deadlifted and my back's sore. And you're like, yeah.
I mean, from my experience, it's always 21 questions. Hey, I heard this, and then that's all they give me. Like, now I gotta ask 50 fucking follow-up questions.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you have an athlete that gives you too much, and that's my story here. So I got this guy, Nate. He's awesome, dude. He's like funny in a way that you would just not expect him to be. He's like a D1 athlete. He's fucking like 6'2", like 270, just like this giant fucking human being. He's never competed before, and we've been building him to be this, like, you know, good athlete. He started at like 280 fat. He's like 270 now. You know, we brought him down, built him back up. He's definitely over a year with me now, and he looks good. He just he's got some white boy arms, and we'll fix it. But anyway, Nate texts me. He goes, "I think I pulled my hamstring." And so I, you know, do my normal. What were you doing? Why you pulled the hamstring? What movement in your training split were you doing when you pulled your hamstring, Nate? He says, "I was doing a forward split." And I Google forward split, and it's like, yeah, it's like the one where you're doing this with like the 1 foot out in front and 1 foot out. And I was like, what the fuck, Nate? I was like, why were you doing a forward split? And apparently he told his girlfriend he could do it, and she said he couldn't. And so he went for it. He does the forward split. And I was like, okay, like, whatever. Like, you did a forward split. Do you have a photo? Because usually, you know, it's good to see a photo. If there's really a tear, there's a ton of edema around it, usually some bruising, you know, blood's pooling, it's red, it's swollen. And it's been, I think, 20 hours since he did it. I don't know why he didn't tell me immediately, but whatever. I said, can you send me a photo of the site? And so Nate sends me a picture. Ross, what would you expect this picture to look like? Athlete sends you a photo of a hamstring injury. What would you expect? It's his left hamstring. What would you expect the photo to look like? Please describe it.
Someone taking it from the back.
Okay.
And him just standing there. And or another one where he's bending over.
And what's he wearing while he's doing this?
Typically shorts and just pulled up. That's what I would expect.
Yeah. So, what'd you say?
You naked?
So I go, Nate, send me a picture. It's almost like he had this fucking photo ready. Like maybe 30 seconds go by, and I get a photo of a 6'3", 270-pound man's ass and legs. He's not wearing underwear, and on his right ass cheek is a hot lips tattoo, like lipstick kissing his ass. And I like stop, and I'm like, Nate, are you trolling me to show me your new tattoo? Or like what's going on here? Are you just trolling and fucking with me right now? At this point I'm like, is there anything even wrong with your hamstring? And he's like, yeah, what do you mean? I'm like, Nate, you have a fucking hot lips tattooed on your ass. Like, what's going on? His hamstring looks totally fine. I'm like, you probably just pulled something being an idiot and doing a split. So, you know, I don't really know what to tell you. Maybe rest a little bit. Don't do splits anymore. He's fine now. This is like a week ago, but I was like, damn, bro. A lot of effort to just fuck with me.
There's 14 people listening. So John and I make these like little notes sections where we have like a brain part and write it down. And he goes, hey, do you want to have a call on Sunday? So I go into the group notes, and right at the top, it says hot lips, Nate hamstring pull. And I screenshot, I go, what the fuck is this? I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I asked Nate if I could use his last name, and he said no. So we know he's a normal human being because he has at least the smallest bit of shame about his hot lips tattoo. So, you know. Anyway, Ross.
What's new in your life, bro?
New in my life. Sam, my client of probably 3 years now, came down to visit. He trained for the last 3 days, Friday, Saturday. Then we got one in Sunday today before he left. It was super fun. One of my other clients that's in Long Island came down too. We hit shoulders. What'd you say?
Mike?
No, Bassett. His name's Bassett. Mike's there all the time. Mike literally lives at my fucking gym. I've actually never been in the gym and Mike wasn't there. He's like a fucking enigma. There's something wrong with him. Some enigma wrong with him?
No.
Which one?
Never mind.
All right. Anyway. But yeah, that was fun. He stayed, you know, he came down, hung out. It's always cool to get people in person to like actually fix their shit. Because there's only so much you can do over, you know, a recording or a video. And usually like, they take the video. They don't even watch the fucking video. They send it to you. They ask you to whatever. I don't understand that. You have a rant about this, Ross? I know you're ranting to me the other day about people taking videos and not watching them. Can you explain?
Oh, my God. Every fucking time. So, concept, okay, of videotaping is amazing, right?
Yeah.
No, it's for self-improvement, self-awareness. Hey, this is what I'm actually doing. Hey, I need to fix it. Literally every single time I see someone posting any videos of them working out, I'm like, so A, you took a video. A, you watched it. C, you posted it. And D, it's all fucked up and you're like, you're okay with that? Like,
yeah, I mean the purpose of the, like, I have probably thousands of videos. I mean, I've deleted a lot of them, but I've probably taken thousands of videos of myself training over the years of doing it, not to post on Instagram, not to show somebody else, not to fucking send to a friend, but because I was curious about what the fuck it looked like and so I could advocate for myself. And I feel like people don't do that anymore. Like if they take a video and there's one video they took for the day and the intent of it is Instagram and not improvement. I feel like videos are the best fucking tool that you have that is literally free. You already fucking paid for the phone. It's in your pocket. It's literally fucking free. You can look at it. And if you don't know what the fuck you're looking at, go look up somebody who does and then compare the two. There's this guy that he's a trainer at my gym. I don't know what the fuck his name is, but it's almost like I'm pretty convinced that he might be blind. Like he posts these videos. There's one of him deadlifting and it's like this big fucked up like Archie back. It's only like 405 pounds, like nothing crazy, and it's like this big fucked up sumo weird deadlift shoulders forward garbage. He gets it up for one. What'd you say?
The one you sent me.
Yes, yeah, and you posted it on your story, and he's like a trainer there, and he's terrible. He's just not particularly strong. I think he's like a boxing coach, and that's what he does. But he's always posted like training with people sometimes, and I'm always like, there's no knowledge being transferred here because
this isn't even us being like nitpicking.
No,
that is it was horrible.
Yeah, this is really bad. I wish I knew his name so you could look him up and we could pull up the video. But it's honestly the fucking shittiest deadlift I've ever seen in my entire life. And he was posting it like go 405 for 2 or 3 or whatever it was. And so the first one like comes off the ground. Cat back, terrible, awful. And then the second one, he does like an RDL type of thing.
Doesn't touch the ground.
Doesn't touch the ground. The sumo stance is just, it's horrible. And it's like, you have to, like, I know he has access to the internet because he's on the internet. Well, he's fucking doing this. Like, you have to be able to Google deadlift or sumo deadlift and see how somebody else did it. And then there's something in his brain that's not connecting that is letting you see your video. You see somebody else, you're like, dude, it's the same fucking thing. Like, no, bro, it's not the same fucking thing. It's, you know, man.
What I actually think happens to a lot, happens to me too, because it's natural, is your brain is doing one thing and you're thinking it's the reality. So, for example, I reposted a belt squat video of me doing belt squats. And so I had, I think, like 8 plates on each side, plus these really thick bands that were pulling down as I went down.
Okay.
So they're pulling, sorry, Yeah, pulling down as I go down and pulling down as I go up. Okay. And in my brain, I was like, I swear to God, I thought I was controlling the motion like super slowly. Because that's what I'm telling my brain to do. Like control it, control it, control it. And then I rewatched it and it's like there's no speed change.
Yeah. And it's,
but I'm thinking.
But at least you watched it. I don't know. Like that, the opposite happens for me all the time. Where like, I don't know, I squatted like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'm not like a great squatter or anything, but I think I had like 4 or 5 on, and it felt like literally a train on my back. And had I not filmed the set, I wouldn't have gone up or done anything different. I would have probably just quit there and maybe moved on to something else. But I filmed it, and it looks pretty fucking easy. And I don't know, that happens to me. Clients will send that to me all the time, where they're like, oh my God, you know, I'm struggling with whatever, and they send it to me, and their top set is
5 more pounds.
Literally, it's like not a top set. And I always want to be like, did you watch this and realize how you smoked through it? Like, you're still warming up here. Like, oh no, it just felt really heavy. Like, feeling heavy doesn't mean anything. Everything feels heavy. There's 2 lifts, I think, that are deceptively heavy feel-wise, and there's a good reason for it. It's psychological. To squat, think about it. There's something on your back. You're afraid of not getting back up. It's crushing you, it's pressing down on you, and you only get lower, closer towards the ground. It's like an anxiety nightmare. The second one, bench press. You have a barbell over your fucking neck, and you're bringing it down slowly, and then you have to press it off. It's like a coffin that you've seen these videos of people dropping the shit, getting pinned under it. I think anxiety comes to play with people underloading those than actual strength deficit. They think, you know, it feels heavy. It should fucking feel heavy. It's 300 pounds in your hand. It shouldn't feel light. That would be weird. But that doesn't mean it's not moving fast. Everything feels heavy. I mean, Russ, you're the weakest second place pro that we know, but you're not weak. You train a different way than most people do, and you like
overspeed. Yeah, everything is fucking heavy. Like, it's like, so embarrassing, but everything's heavy to me. I try to make it heavy.
I think unracking 225, 315, the 370, like it all feels pretty fucking heavy. You know, unless there's like a 300-pound jump from one to the other, like it doesn't, I don't know, it all feels the same coming off the rack to me. Just when you start to press it, you'll notice a little bit of difference in speed. But I think it felt heavy is what people limit themselves on in their capacity. If you view the video, does it look heavy in the video? I don't know.
When I interned for a strength conditioning program, I was coaching or interning like strength coaching the field hockey team. Field hockey team was super good, super strong. They all had this like phobia of using big weights, like physically big. So they wouldn't touch the 45s. Okay.
Would they just stack 25s?
Yeah, they'd stack 25s and 10s. So they wouldn't want to do like 225 on deadlift, but they do like 225s and 410s. I'm like, you guys are doing the same weight. It's like in my head, I can't do it. So they like do 245s, barely get it off the ground, strip the weight with the same amount of weight with different, you know, smaller plates and just rep it out.
That's honestly, I've broken plateaus like that just because I thought maybe they were mental. And it's like, you know, instead of going for 315, you're going to go for 225s, a 25, a 10, and a 5. And you're almost there. You're 10 pounds away at that point. But, man, that's smoking. And then you put 315 on and you get buried. Yeah, that's a mental thing here. I remember, like, the first time I ever benched 225, it was that fucked up way with a 25 and two 10s. And it was like, that's no different than 2 plates. But 2 plates was like, oh, fuck, like, damn, 2 plates.
That milestone feat.
Yeah, so maybe try that. Just fucking put all the small change on and see if your brain doesn't cuck you into losing. Fucked up.
I'm gonna facilitate my chest workout tomorrow.
Did you see Singerman got 54 months?
I did. I saw that.
I mean, I don't know. Sid Ray posted a great point the other day. He was like, hey guys, what if you could be worth... I'm assuming Aaron Singerman's worth $50 to $60 million. He has a $500,000 watch. His house. What did you say?
I heard 600 million.
Let's just say at least 50 million, though. Like, you know, he's leveraged in a ton of ways. $5 million house, $2 million house, $1 million boat, $500,000 watch. Like, I'm sure his fucking closet is just stacked full of crazy jewelry and watches and shit. But Sid Ray's point was, okay, will make you worth $50 million. He's got 54 months in a federal facility. He'll probably serve 80% of that, 75% of that. 3.5 years, let's call it. 3.5 years, he had to forfeit $2.9 million to the FDA or whoever for restitution. And you go away for 3.5 years. When you get out, your company, Redcom One, that's totally legitimate and not getting shut down, has still profited every single fucking year. You're not worth, you know, the $50 million that you were 3.5 years ago. You're worth way fucking more now because compound interest, and you weren't out fucking spending it. And you got a clean slate. Now, would you do that, or would you rather continue being who you are right now?
Meaning a criminal or what?
I'm saying the average person, would they rather switch places with Aaron Singerman, or would they rather let Aaron Singerman be Aaron Singerman?
So let's say I'm worth $100,000.
Correct. Right.
Would I continue to be $100,000 or lose 3 years of my life and gain $50 million?
Correct.
I don't know, dude. That's a hard.
Well, it would all have to be, if you're like doing this as a, you're not considering the, how hard prison time is. If you're doing this as a realistic point of view, it's in 3.5 years, is the $100,000 valuation guy going to create $50 million of revenue, a giant business? Is he going to pop a Richard Mille on his wrist in the next 3.5 years? And the answer is probably fucking no.
Yeah, logically, like numbers wise, the right decision would be to take the 3 years.
I'd be Aaron Singerman. He's a good fucking businessman. You know, people have a lot to say about him, but he made a big mistake with Blackstone. He started Redcon. He doesn't have any dirt in Redcon. It was all trapped up. Yeah, but I mean, there's like dirt as far as a federal crime goes and pissing off the FDA, and then there's dirt as far as just kind of being a douchebag. Yeah, they fucked John Meadows over, but it wasn't illegal. It was just breach of contract. You know, that's a civil matter, not a criminal matter. So, you know, he had always dirt on Blackstone, all the legal FDA, SARMs bullshit. He's over that. He's been a legitimate businessman since, what, 2016, 17, whenever they started Redcon. And they're on fourth. So, I don't know. He'll be good. I thought he was going to get 10 or 11 or 12 years, and that would be, you know, if how long would Elena wait for you if you went to the pen, by the way?
Fuck, I don't know. Long time, I think.
Have you asked her?
No, but I will tonight.
Gentlemen, you gotta ask your woman. Just look right at her. What'd you say?
If we had a business that was thriving, and I was able to communicate with her and everything, I think she'd wait for sure.
I mean, you have that though. You have a great business. It's thriving right now. You get locked up, you go.
I know. But if we didn't. I was just like a bum.
Yeah, she'd probably leave you.
Yeah, I'd leave.
Gentlemen, ask your ladies tonight. Just look right at them and say, how many years could I do in the federal penitentiary before you'd leave me? And leave it up to them to see what they say. Anything under 10 years, you leave them. What'd you say?
If it was the other way around, I don't know. Never mind.
Yeah, don't say it. That was not the question. That was not the question. So Ross, I called you earlier and I had a fun experiment for you. You didn't do it?
I didn't have time, no.
Wow. Well, I was going to say we both did it, but I was sitting around.
You share what happened.
Well, I was wondering what it's like to be 350 pounds or thereabout. I was like, what does that feel like to just walk around like that? And you know, people put on like the weight vests and stuff to like get an extra 20 pounds and do pull-ups and sit-ups and whatever, and it's tough. I was like, all right, I'm 210. My girlfriend's about 125, 130. I was like, man, if she just like jumped on my back, I could be like 340 pounds. So I was like, babe, come here. And she like jumps on me like a koala like this. Like wraps her arms and legs around me, and I was like, just wrap your arms and legs around me. I want to walk around. That shit's hard, bro. I would stop being fat fucking immediately. Like, fuck that. Like, literally sitting up from the couch and walking to get a snack was way more fucking trouble than it's worth. That shit's hard. That is fucking terrible, bro. I couldn't imagine. Like, literally getting up off the fucking shitter would be an Olympic level squat for a 350 pound fucking person. Like, damn, I know why their calves are big. I know why all their calves are big now. It was fucking terrible, bro. She got off me, and I felt like this appreciation for all of the habits that I've created over the years. I'm like, damn.
This off season, I got up to 271 fasted, and then it was like 278, 279, like at the end of the day. I couldn't even work like this right here. So like I'm packing boxes, this motion right here, looking down, my chest and chin was cutting off my fucking breath. It couldn't work. So I was like, damn, dude, I literally cannot even do my job on that fat. So we need to, you know.
And now imagine
living like this.
Like we have to take the context too. You know, I'm a dude that can squat 500 pounds. You can. I've seen you rep 405 for 17. Like, we're not weak people, and it's hard for us to be that. Like, it's really tough. We would be like the fucking, you know, if we were fat guys, we'd be king fat guys. We'd be like the upper echelon as far as you know, muscular material goes. And most of them probably aren't that. How the fuck are these people getting around? I guess they're not, and that's why they're in their predicament. Well,
this would be actually an interesting analysis. So if you have muscle, that takes energy to move, right? The muscle takes energy. If you don't have any muscle and you have fat, that takes no energy. So well, I'm wondering if
me and Kat had this conversation right after it. I was like, damn, this is why they hate exercise and they have to diet extremely aggressively, because it's just a lot of fat sitting around. And the motion, the movement that you would have to do is just so fucking stressful. It's not even worth it. You get burnt. I would be burned out in 10 minutes. I couldn't make it. You know, I talked all that shit about the Puerto Rico girl. I feel so bad for her. But honestly, like, you know, she does need to change. But like, I understand it now. I couldn't carry Cat on my back through that forest. I had to quit and been throwing up too. But they have to diet aggressively, like super fucking aggressively. And then they have all these fucking people online saying, nurture your body. 1,200 calories isn't enough. Like, no, they probably have the muscle mass to support 12 to 1,500 calorie human being in there. And it's just covered by mountains of fat that's not giving anything except for fat storage.
Dude, I don't know if we were this close after the show we did together in 2015. But I had gained, I went from 191 on stage to 248 in 3 weeks.
I remember
getting a rhabdomyolysis. I had horrible SpongeBob marshmallow legs. Do you remember that?
I remember you were like in tears and sent me a photo of like just how soft and spongy your legs were. Your socks were cutting. Like, it literally looked like you had invisible socks on because your whole shit was cut in by the tube of your tube sock. Like, it looked like you had invisible socks on. It was so bad.
That's another story for another day. But anyway, so I was so fat. I got so fat so quick, I couldn't walk, because every day at that time I was working for a lady who I was the personal assistant. Every morning we'd take a walk together, and it got to the point where she was like, "You need to go to the hospital. You can't even walk." I had to like stop.
I had no idea that you were a gigolo in a past life. Wow. You see, he passed it off. He said, "Lady, I was a personal assistant for. We'd get up in the morning and go for a walk." You were already there in the morning. You were waking up, weren't you?
There was a big rumor though. But no,
there was a rumor about it.
Oh yeah, because it was for the pharmaceutical industry. You know, everyone is, you know, hoity-toity.
Yeah.
And here comes the queen of this industry. Her name was Christine, and with like, you know, a good-looking young guy by her side, you know, carrying her fucking bags and...
Wait, who's this good looking? Oh, you're talking about yourself.
I'm not fucking horrible.
All right, it is.
Obviously, if I was a troll, then that this wouldn't be a fucking rumor, right?
Or it could be true. You never know, Ross. You never know. For the audio people, Ross is now collapsing his face with his hands. I think I've offended him. Wow, so Ross was a gigolo. I didn't know that. That could be how he got the capital.
That's actually where I met Elena.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, we have that company. Yeah.
Wow, amazing. He changed his ways. He's on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, this is such a side note, dude. We were talking about cheating. Dude, those work conferences, you can...
Oh.
Dude, are you... Like, I went to one. It was just me and her. And then I was, like, just left alone. There was, like, fucking smoke show pharmaceutical reps there. And I'm like, all coming up to me, talking to me. I'm like, this is so dangerous. If I was
I don't know if you've ever, have you ever heard of Reddit relationship advice?
No. I mean, I'm sure what it is, but go ahead.
And you motherfuckers are bored. Reddit.com/r/relationship_advice. It's like the leading story there is like some woman and she's like, I don't know, like I don't want to go through my husband's phone, but I'm looking at just his actions and he has all these work conferences and he came back with lipstick on his, you know, it's like, lady, look through the phone. What the fuck? Every single fucking story is like a man in his mid-30s going and fucking somebody at a work conference. Every fucking other story. And there's a bunch of like stupid shit, but like most of the stories are that.
A perfect scenario.
I don't understand. People just get bored, I guess. You're like in your cul-de-sac and driving your Camry, and then you get a little bit of excitement and you just can't fucking handle it.
That's why you just work with your wife and you're good.
I don't know. People, I think it's just be happy and like actually pick the things that make you happy instead of the thing. People just pick what they think they're supposed to pick. Think they're supposed to find a home as soon as they get a serious relationship. Think they're supposed to start having a kid. Think they're supposed to go get the office job. And like you think you're supposed to, but did you actually want to? If I did what I was supposed to do, I would be a miserable attorney right now. Everybody I graduated with thought they were supposed to go take the bar and go get a fucking job doing whatever the fuck. And I said, fuck that, because it didn't make me happy. Like, I did the fucking degree. Was I supposed to just sink more of my happiness into this thing that wasn't making me happy? Fuck no, I finished it. Started a business. And I'm happy. I ain't cheating, because I'm happy.
You need to do an episode on starting businesses and running businesses.
Yeah, that'd be good. Nobody would give a fuck. They'd be like, you guys are trolls. Nobody listens to you. Jesus Christ. You know what the new business idea I got is? And I pitched it to a close friend of mine, which I hope he takes it. You're going to love this, Ross. So can you name the one website / app-ish thing that came out super big in 2020 that functions as a paywall? Super important.
What's a paywall?
Paywall, you have to pay to play. It's like you go to New York Times, they let you view one article, but if you want to view more of their newspaper, you have to pay. It's a paywall.
Oh, okay. So this is an app for what though?
It's a website. You already know about it, but it's legitimate use as being a paywall, but it's been branded as something else. Can you think about it?
Oh, so you download this app for one thing and then you sign up and it's something else, basically?
No, OnlyFans.
Okay.
So functionally, this is a paywall. You make an account, you're able to charge other people to access the information you have on there, but it just has the reputation as being a seedy place where girls show their titties and make money off of it. But a friend of mine who just lost his Instagram account, he's got a pretty big following and he likes to put out like educational content and shit. I called him today and I was like, why don't you just make a fucking OnlyFans? There will be crazy funny buzz generated around, you know, he's got an OnlyFans. And they go and they sign up and it's educational content. You know, there's nothing on OnlyFans that in the fine print that says you have to use this for feet pics and titties. Like a lot of it is just girls that literally post bikini photos and talk to their people and get paid $50, $100, $200 a month by all these simps. And I don't see why you couldn't redirect bodybuilding traffic to it and use it as a place to host educational content that you want paid for.
I know I don't know his name, but I believe there's a couple chefs that do that. Hey, this is my recipe on how to make, you know, whatever. But to get it, it's $10 a month or whatever.
Yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't. I don't know why anybody hasn't capitalized on that yet. It's kind of a good fucking idea. You don't have to worry about making an app, making a website, whatever. It's already there for you. You sign up, you pay the fans, they're 10% or whatever. And then you can control the content. If you make an app, you can offload them to it later. But I don't know.
Who's this friend?
I can't tell you in case he takes the idea. So if he does it, I'll send you the link and you can. He's going to steal the idea, guys.
It'll actually be good.
Yeah, it'd be interesting for sure. He's somebody a lot of people pay attention to, you know, and he always puts out crazy content and cool shit and little insightful things he's learned through the years. So I think it'd be good. I'd pay $10 a month for it to just go see what the fuck he's got going on. I don't know. I feel like that's a, what'd you say? I don't know. You have to see. You have to sign up and see what it is. You have to see. So, Ross, you were texting me about first impressions and small interactions with people and how people make a judgment based on that. What do you got? What do you got for me? I didn't know where you were going.
I'm going to use this one example, but just because it popped up on my feed today. But you know, this happens, you know, all the time. So my friend Ashley, actually, if you're watching this, met Hani Rambod, I forget where. And she posts on her story, I just met Hani Rambod from Hani Rambod, and he's such a nice guy. And I go, how long did you meet him for? And she said, I know what her answer was. And then she flipped me off, okay? So, and I messaged John. I was like, dude, we got to talk about this because everyone is like, oh my God, I met, you know, Dennis Rodman and he's such a nice guy. Okay, this interaction went how? Hey, Dennis, I'm a huge fan.
Hey man, thank you.
What's your name? My name's Peter.
What a nice guy. I saw on Instagram or TikTok or one of those, it was a video of a basketball. I forget who it was. He's walking like back into the locker room through like the bleachers. And the caption was, big fan. He's a real one after seeing this. And I'm like, all right, what's going to happen here? And he's like walking and he notices a kid. And then he walks up to the kid and high fives him and then goes and walks. It's like, what was the cost to him for that? Like, isn't that just a normal... Like, I don't know. This seems like a normal – I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing he did, but, like, saying he's a real one and now I'm a huge fan that he gave a kid a high five. Like, I don't fucking know. It seems pretty low cost. And then he write the kid a check for fucking college. That'd be a real one, I'd say. That's a pretty big investment in his time there. But he just went and slapped his hand, and that was enough to convince somebody that he was a great human being.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know you – I know that you don't base your judgments on people in a, you know, 50-second thing, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't make any decision on anyone after one meeting.
That meant that you now have 60 seconds left to talk.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just kidding. That's the doorbell. As you were saying.
But the opposite, too. Like, hey, I met Ross at this event and he's such a fucking dick. Oh, what happened? Well, you know, he said, you know, nothing. He said nothing to me. And then now I'm a dick. Okay. To be fair, everyone has bad days. You have no idea. Did you watch that Kevin Hart movie called True Story?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh, it's so good. Anyways, there's this scene where one of his biggest fans, Kevin Hart's biggest fans, is waiting outside of this arena for him. And Kevin is just like, dude, I do not have time for you. Go away. Get the fuck out of my face. Blah, 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 blah. And that one interaction blew up in this whole thing. And Kevin was just having a bad day. The other 100 impressions he had on this fan were totally different. And so it's like, you can't base, you know, people can be shitty for no matter what. It doesn't give you the right to like judge your entire. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, this is maybe like the opposite, the inverse of what you're talking about. There's people I've never met in the industry that we're in, bodybuilding, that I've heard countless fucked up stories about. I've never fucking met them ever. And if I ever meet them, I'm going to be thinking of 80 fucking terrible stories and things, and they'll probably be a douche. So I feel like when it's a really bad story and there's a lot of them and multiple sources, it stacks up and reigns true. But I've been told, I don't know, oh yeah, a great person, just met him. It's like, I don't know.
You know, obviously, that's totally true. Like, I'm sure, I mean, from what I see, Hani seems like a really fucking nice guy. You know?
I'm sure Hani's a great guy, but most people would, you know, be in the right situation. I don't think you could be a mean guy unless you're Lou Ferrigno charging a bunch of fucking money to take a picture with you.
Someone's excited to meet you. Like, what are you going to say? Fuck you.
And then it's like, you're, you know, when you're in your element or when you're supposed to, like, I don't know. I hate going to shows and shit and I don't like hate meeting people, but like I don't like leaving my house. So like if you go to the shows and it's like, I mean, nobody knows who the fuck I am, but people say hi and, you know, people that I know and stuff. And it's not that I don't like people. It's just like socially draining to like go say hi. You know who really impressed me though? And I feel like I could actually say this because I waited in his fucking line for like 5 fucking hours. And I figured out why I waited in his line for 5 hours. This was 2015, maybe 2016 Arnold Expo. I was standing in line at the Gasp booth. They had Sadiq and Rami at the front. And Rami doesn't speak any fucking English, right? So he's like, at the time, he was like, definitely spoke no English. Like, not even some hellos. And so he's like, you know, just shake hand, fan move, shake hand, fan move. Rami's line is moving like a fucking train, just like a truck. Fucking like down the highway, 90 miles an hour. They're getting the picture, shaking the hand, getting the fuck out of there. Sadiq's line doesn't move at all. This motherfucker is up there talking to anybody and everybody for as long as humanly possible. Like having the time of his life. Literally is like, I'm supposed to go to lunch, but yeah, come here. He's talking to this kid. This kid's asked some questions about drugs, his fucking hair products, his girlfriend, like asking him for advice and shit. And Sadiq's literally just sitting there. We're like three back. We've been waiting for hours in this fucking line. We're three back listening to Sadiq go on and on and console this kid about his like breakup. I was like, one, well, you know, kind of annoying, but two, he gave everybody that access to him. And some people just wanted a photo and to go, but you know, there's a ton of these kids that just came to go see him, and he wasn't like, okay, snap the picture, get the fuck out of the line. He was like, I will literally sit here and talk to all you sons of bitches to the end of fucking time, and I don't care. And I thought that was cool, because for me, 10 people walking up to me is so draining that I want to go home. And this motherfucker had a line of probably 500 or 600 people the whole fucking time there, and was happy to have an exhausting conversation with every one of them. And I don't know. I think that's endurance for that too. What do you say?
I think you build up endurance for that.
There's no way you build up that level of endurance. That's just. I feel like you would just build up resentment at that point for all these kids asking you this crazy shit, and he's especially just like
questions. Oh my god.
He was inviting it too. He'd be like, "Anything else you want to talk about?" I was like, "Holy fuck!" I'd be like, "Get the fuck out of this line." Here's your fucking pre-workout and your autograph. Go fucking do something else. I hope I'm never famous because I'll get a really bad reputation. But Jesus, that was something else. That was something.
Maybe
else.
He was high because that usually helps me.
I think Sadiq probably smokes weed for sure. Have you ever met anybody at the expo and been like put off? I have a funny Rich Payana story.
I went to the Olympia this year, did a thing there. I don't think so. I mean, everyone that we met was super cool. And
you know, the funniest thing I ever saw at an expo. So do you remember when Rich Payana, we were talking about this the other day, Bigger by the Day, how he's like late to fucking everything always. Yeah. So this was that year, I think 2015 maybe, at the Arnold. We fucked up and we didn't have our tickets shipped to us. We put them in will call, which means you're standing. By the way, if you're going to the Arnold, do not will call your tickets, because you will fucking be in line with like 9,000 other fucking people waiting all day to get your fucking tickets. It is a horrible idea. E-ticket or have them mail it to you. I don't even know if we do. Do we do paper tickets anymore? Is this like 8 years ago? And that's why I'm talking about it.
I think so.
Oh, fuck off. Anyway, this is probably a non-issue anymore, but if there's a will call option, don't fucking do it at the Arnold. You'll be in line forever. So we're in this massive fucking line. And it's 9:30. I think the expo opened at 8 for the VIPs. So there's like, you can go and you have an hour to just go directly to whoever you want to talk to and get in with them. All the expo people are supposed to be in there waiting. It's like 9:30. And there's like a rustling. People are yelling like, get out of the way, move. You know, I hear this like giant voice that I seem to recognize from YouTube. You go, oh, guys. And it's fucking Rich Payana, and he's got like a giant duffel bag. And this is Bigger by the Day era. So he's like 330, 340 pounds, like a massive cloud. Sarah, his wife, girlfriend at the time, is like running ahead of him, like this little blonde all done up. And he's like chugging. It's 9:30. He's an hour and a half late for anybody who's standing in his fucking VIP line. They're probably just up there touching their dicks waiting for something to happen. And he's got that big red couch he has. And I just go, Rich, good morning. And he goes, good fucking morning. It just charges. He's just moving like a fucking football player through this shit. It was funny. I was like, wow, he's really late. Because on Bigger by the Day, the joke is always he's just not in time for anything. I was like, wow, he really takes it like this. Like, everything, he's late for everything, even his expo. But he was cool as fuck. We missed him. We waited in line for 2.5-3 hours, and he had some sort of crisis where he had to leave. And all those people, like Paulo Alameda, came up to me, and he's like, hey, here's a wristband, like a 5% wristband. He's like, but Rich ain't there. He had to go home. I was like, fuck.
Do you go to those expos anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been. I was going to go 2020. I didn't, obviously, because they canceled it. It was like the day, 2 days before, and they were like, oh, we don't know if anybody's going to be allowed here. Well, so I just canceled it, and it was good because they didn't have it. And then this year it was like in September, right?
No, this year will be in it's next
month. I mean, last year it was in September.
Oh, no, there was no expo.
Yeah, and there was no expo, so it was like not worth going. I love the Arnold, though. I've tried to go every year, and I have, all except for 2020 and 2021, because I really couldn't go. But I'm going this year, March. I got to plan my trip and shit.
Oh, you're going?
You want to go?
I don't know. I was thinking about it. We want to do a booth there, but we're just going to do the Olympia.
I don't want to go with any obligation to do anything. I want to go to participate in the festivities and stand in the giant fart lines and stuff. By the way, if you've never been to the Arnold, it smells like a fart, the whole fucking thing. And then you're going to want to go somewhere, but there's just going to be too many bodies moving one direction that you don't want to go. And you're just going to have to fucking deal with it, suck it up, and go that direction. Hopefully it's somewhere you want to go and you'll find something fun to do, but that's just the fucking Arnold, man. It's insane. Honestly, there's also a whole bunch of really out of shape people wearing cutoffs. Kind of amazing. They're not going to have the animal cage anymore. You know that?
I didn't even know they had an animal cage.
Bro, the animal cage, it's like always
been. Oh my God.
You know what I'm talking about?
The company animal.
Animal pack, and then the cage. And there's like in the center, they always have
giant. An animal cage is tigers and lions.
There's some fucking lions in there, bro. There's always like strong people. And they're like, like deadlifting like 900 pounds and like benching.
Why the fuck are there tigers there?
It was a fun time, though. They had like a rep out thing once where it was like,
that's dope.
They put your body weight on and they rep it out. I was like, I think 191 pounds, and they made me bench 200. I was like, fuck you guys. So they made me do 200, and I got it for like, I don't know, 27 or something. Gary, you know, G6, Gary Turner. Yeah, Gary Turner. The frozen most muscular. Yeah, he was actually the one that was counting my reps and like running the thing. And I thought it was funny because I talk to him now, like, you know, every now and again about, you know, bodybuilding and shit. But I was like, hey, I didn't know you back then. I know you. That's cool. He's a cool dude. He's a really cool dude. Frozen Gary. But yeah, we should go. The Arnold is a fun time. What'd you say?
Travel. My God, I'm traveling too much this year.
Oh, cool. So yeah, Ross. You've never been to an expo that you weren't at a booth at, right?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
You don't want to,
like, I'm not a fan of anything.
You don't want to wait in line to get an autograph and ask somebody, hey, so can you critique my workout routine? I bet they get that all the time. I'd be real annoyed.
All the time.
Yeah, I'd be real fucking pissed.
No, I think, like, no, I'm not going to any expos. The expos, I'll go to them, like, to be a part of them. That's fun. But I don't really want to wait in line for 900 pre-workout samples.
No, me either. I've never been to one of them and like gotten any, like picked up anything off of a table. They're just kind of like fun to go to, and I don't know. It's like all the people. There's a ton of people, you know.
They have some, usually have some good deals on like clothing or shoes.
Yeah, I don't buy either.
Huh?
I don't buy either of those things from. I own, and this is a fact. I own zero fitness clothing or shoes or products. None. You won't find a single one in my house. I don't own a single fucking branded shirt from any fucking fitness anything that I've paid for. Nothing. It's all garbage.
Because you partake in 0% of fitness.
Ross, I'm stronger than you, and don't you forget it. Don't you ever forget it, Ross. Don't you ever forget it.
Oh, I actually, fucking topic list.
The topic list is Ross being a weak little newfit bitch that can't take punch.
I am going to ride that train and capitalize on it so fucking much. If I do good in pro shows, if I suck, then I'm not doing
that. Yeah, if you suck, you have to go back to pressing heavy and doing things my way. I think it's probably what will happen. So you're what? You're doing the indie pro.
I'm gonna do the indie New York, and then Elena's back, and then there's two Texas shows in August.
Wow, that's like a loser mentality. You're like, I'm gonna do this show, and then another one, and another one. Why don't you just win the first one, Ross? What the fuck?
Because I've been waiting for what, 4 years to fucking compete. Because the national shows are once a year, pretty much. I want to compete.
You just want to do a bunch just to do it?
Yeah, I'd love to fucking compete.
What if you won one? Then what?
I'd still do it. I'm gonna be in New York that weekend anyways. Why wouldn't I do Texas shows? They're right, like 2 hours away.
I guess.
It gives us an excuse to get the fuck away from our store.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true too. Are you going to come?
More good for marketing.
Are you going to come visit me in New York? Hi, Elena. Hey, Elena. Later. Ross has an experiment. You have to jump on his back. Here, do it right now. Jump on his back. Don't ask questions. Just do it.
I never ask questions with you fools.
Are you standing right now, Ross?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, Ross. Now go walk around. And come back. Let us know what's going on. Ross is now walking away with Elena.
Well, there's a step here, too.
You got to take some careful
steps. I already said, ooh.
Come on, I've been dieting for 4 weeks, bitch.
Come on, Ross. She's been dieting. Go. Let's go, Ross. All right, Ross is now waddling away aggressively. Now, Ross, if every morning you woke up like that, would you do something about it, or would you post online about how it's totally healthy and normal?
Okay, you know what I will say? If I had to walk like that, you know how motivated I would be? Like, you have to psych your fucking self up. Like, I gotta take a fucking shit!
I'm only 140 pounds.
Yeah,
sure. Fuck you guys.
That's 300 pounds again.
No, more than that. Ross, you're like 260?
400 pounds.
400 pounds. Yeah, that's a lot. Now think about dead stop getting off the toilet without a railing.
Dude, because you're gonna have to press down on something.
That's gonna have to bear a lot of weight too.
You're gonna have to press down on a railing.
Whoa. I used to work, I think I've talked about it before, at a call center. With tons of fat people. And every single toilet we had was one that like hung off the wall, like it was bolted into the wall. And they had an epidemic. It was fucking catastrophe. It was crazy where these fucking fat people were breaking the toilets off the fucking wall. I was literally sitting, so the men's bathroom and the women's bathroom share a common wall for plumbing reasons. And so those toilets would be screwed into the same wall divider and attached, I'm assuming, with the same bolts, like a long bolt that goes through the wall. So I'm fucking sitting on a toilet, taking a shit, avoiding my responsibilities, like 30 minutes deep, playing a fucking game on my phone. And all of a sudden, I feel my toilet rise. So it's like, imagine a seesaw where it's like my 150-pound ass in the toilet and like a 300-pound woman in the other bathroom sits down. And I hear violent shitting. And I was like, I can't do it anymore. I'm going to go work. I need to get the fuck out of here. But there was an epidemic where they were breaking them off the fucking wall. And so they found this product sold by, I don't know who the fuck sells it, that goes, like, imagine like a cane that goes, or like a stopper that goes underneath the toilet that's hanging off the wall so that when, you know, it makes contact and it can support a bunch more weight.
Wow.
It said rated up to 500. I looked it up. It was like rated up to 550 pounds.
Oh my God. Could you imagine? That would literally scare the shit out of me.
It's terrible.
Because you know when like you're sitting on one of those toilet seats like in public and the toilet seat like,
moves?
Yeah. And you like have a mini heart attack. I'm about to fall in.
Yeah. I always think my like nutsack's going to get clipped or like I'm going to have my pee-pee like waxed off or something. That's what I always think. I once, there was like a handicap stall and you know, you chill in there all the time. And there was a like a grill that I think had like some sort of plumbing access in it or whatever. And it was like pulled aside a little bit. Like it was like pulled open. And I was like, the fuck? And I'm sitting there anyway, just dicking around again, not working. And I like pulled it open a little bit and looked in. And there's a pair of dirty drawers in the floor. Dirty ass fucking drawers in the floor, covered in shit. And so I'm like, wow, there is somebody out there that shit their pants and just took them off. They gave them away. They just took the fucking shitty drawers off, threw them in the ground, and then went back out to sit in their chair with a dirty butt.
Horrible. Oh my God.
Absolutely vile.
Your job history is very interesting.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I that got me into fitness. Working in that place literally got me into fitness. I was like, fuck this. I'm not dying. I don't want none of this. I want to be in shape. I can't have it anymore. I actually got into that job being like a video game nerd and never having really like given much to the gym. And then when I left from that job, I was like already training for the bodybuilding show because I wanted to be the exact opposite of everybody in that fucking room because they were all just like that. It was terrible. It was terrible.
Slobs and blobs.
Slobs and fucking blobs. God. God. So, Ross, lead the way. We got a couple things you want to talk about. You want to talk about false positivity.
No, here we go. Perfect. No, I got a female right here. Okay. For the four females that are listening, guys, you know exactly what I'm going to explain. John, you know about this. How in your DNA, females, did you guys obtain the skill to subconsciously move everything?
What?
Everything.
Everything. So like Elena has a bad habit of moving things from our house that shouldn't move, like cutting boards, knives, phone chargers, like why the fuck is this moving? And then the opposite, she has a bad habit of keeping things in her car that need to come into the house, like fresh groceries, potatoes, everything.
Annoying. I always like if I wear a shirt for like the end of the day and I've already showered, like I reasonably want to wear that shirt tomorrow. But if I put that shirt literally anywhere other than back in the fucking closet, that shit's going in the wash. And then I don't know how she does it. It's never just even sitting, you know, like hovering on top. It's always just fucking buried. Like I think she mixes it like a fucking McFlurry. Like she just wants to make me never find this fucking t-shirt again. I'm like, where's my shirt at? Oh, I put it in the laundry. I go, look, you know, I think it's right on top. It's at the fucking bottom, and I don't know how. I think she's messing with me. What do you think, Catherine? You
and, here's what happened. What happens to me is this stuff happens to me all the time. That I've developed like a complex where I have like PTSD. For things missing. Mm-hmm. So many times that when I fuck up and I accidentally move it, it like immediately triggers alarms. Like they fucking moved it and I lose my fucking brain. Happened with the shirt that I wore yesterday.
I did that with my wallet yesterday. I
fucking tore this house up, you know, huge fit. Like where the fuck is the shirt? And then I was like, okay, maybe I was the one that moved it. And then I was like, I know exactly where I fucking put it.
Elena, you know how to trigger Ross now, so use that if you will. I have a system. When I come in the house, there's a place that I put everything. I put my wallet, I put my knife, I put my keys one spot, the doggy bags if I walk the dog. I put it all in one spot. And then Catherine's, her article is to just move those things in different spots, even though they're all in the same spot. Or she'll borrow my keys, and I will never see those fuckers again. I'll be like, hey, baby, where are my keys? I gotta go out. In my jacket. This girl has like 20 jackets, bro. I'm like, okay, which jacket? Oh, the black one. Okay, where is the black jacket? In the fucking room under the bed. Like, oh my God, why just put the fucking keys back? You can put your jacket wherever you want to put your jacket. Just please return my keys. You hear that, Catherine?
Yeah.
Giving me the finger right now. What do you got there?
I got some dessert.
You got dessert?
Yeah.
Wow, Ross, I may need to end this podcast early. I'm working on that 300-pound lifestyle. I just couldn't imagine that, man. I don't know. I just couldn't imagine that.
You want to do one more topic?
Yeah, let's talk about false positivity.
There you go.
So I think what you meant by this is like everybody knows of a coach that's like this or human beings that are like this. and it's you're like, oh, 6 weeks out, and this is a human being that shouldn't be on a stage, you know, maybe 6 weeks out of like a surgery, 6 weeks out from your birthday. Yeah, you got a surgery planned or like your birthday. And they're like, just imagine, just some kid is like, he's in a gym, he found the best lighting, he's like, you know, wearing the NPC trunks that he bought, he's super excited about. And if he didn't tell you he was competing in a bodybuilding show, you would never have asked the question, are you competing in a bodybuilding show? It would never cross your mind. You would never think about it because he doesn't look like he lifts. And his boys are in the fucking comments hitting him with the fucking trophies and the fucking flexes and this and that. And the judges aren't going to hit him with none of those. They're going to give him a ranking, which is probably last. And he got gassed. He got a false positivity. You aren't helping people by lying to them just because they're your friend.
Yep.
You've always been a douche to me, Rods. If I ask you something like serious about you, be like, you'll tell me the truth. And I did the same to you. Yeah. If you suck, you suck. I want you to know.
And then, you know, winners take that advice or that statement and go, okay, so I suck, so I need to fix something.
Yeah. Well, if you're not Mr. Olympia, you probably got something to be a little better about, huh?
Yeah. And then losers dwell on the fact that you said something not positive. And my philosophy is positivity is like a long-term game, long-term, you know, plan. If you have like cycled, like diet cycled on and off your whole life and you lost 50 pounds, gained 50 pounds, is that a pie, a quiche?
You just set it down next to me with no explanation. I don't know what it is. It
looks like a quiche.
It looks pretty good, doesn't it? It smells savory. It doesn't smell like a dessert. I don't know.
I would say a quiche.
Yeah, it smells quiche-y. It's a little quiche-y. Tiny bit quiche-y. Did you see the post I made the other day, speaking of what you're talking about right now, where it was some guy that it was super weird. It came out of nowhere. He sends me an email, asks me for my prices. I tell him what my prices are. He says, oh, okay, sounds good, and then asks another follow-up question. I reply, and that was all I heard about him.
This one in February,
yeah.
We talked about this.
What?
You talk, and then he.
No. Different thing. Uh-oh. Different guy. And then he competes. And I guess at some point he asked for my opinion on what he looked like, and I told him something. He competes.
Is this the mean compliment guy?
Yeah. Yeah. He competes.
Okay.
We didn't talk about this.
We did a while ago when it happened, but I forget.
Can I finish my story for the love
of God? Oh, story.
Thank you. So he competes, and he writes this big fucking shout out to everybody that helped him during his prep. And at the bottom he says, thanks to Goob You for nothing. Your prices are too high and your compliments suck. And I was like, what the fuck? This is a grown man. He got like second place in some dumpster fire fucking show. And he's doing a victory lap like he just got a fucking gold medal in the Olympics. I was like, who the fuck are you? I got tagged in it and I was like, who the fuck is this human being? It was just embarrassing. He's a grown man, bro. A grown man doing shit like this. My compliments.
You're supposed to compliment him.
I should have lied to him. I should have said, you look like, I should have told him the truth. You look like a second place guy at a small show. God.
Dude, he so every time Don sends me a compliment, I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, please stop telling me.
Stop telling me. Just tell me how bad.
Jesus. There's definitely there are guys that will hire you and they're like, if they say, I can take anything, you can tell me anything, they cannot take anything and you cannot tell them anything. They're saying that because they think you're not going to criticize them because they think they're perfect. They're like, yeah, you just tell me the worst, and you tell them the worst, and they're like, well, what about Morgan Rice just fucking inherited a shitbag client that I fired for being
the Primo guy?
The Primo, or no, the NPP guy. Yeah. The NPP, or yeah, no, Mast and EQ guy.
Yeah.
That guy, I fired him. He was super fucking annoying about something, and I remember just firing him. I got rid of him for, I forget what it was, but it was something about, you get these guys that send you these massive emails with like weird shit in them, and they're, and Morgan, he called it. He posted, he's like, I'm gonna send him a cycle, and we'll wait to see how long he suggests we do something else because his guy has something on sale. And it was like fucking clockwork. 10 minutes go by, and he gets exactly that fucking email. Like you can foresee these things. It's like just clamping your dick in a fucking stapler over and over and over again. I stopped clamping my dick. I fire these guys like crazy.
This is unrelated, but sort of the same topic. I don't like when clients want to fish for compliments. Like, they'll send check-in pictures, and what are your thoughts? Like, dude, I'm not playing this game.
Yeah, you're not paying me for my compliments. You're paying me for the
person. That doesn't change anything. Dude, you're 400 pounds still.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think you need to lose some weight. That's what I think. I don't like fishing for compliments either. I don't get a lot of that, though, honestly, because I think they're afraid to ask because I'll say something mean, because that's kind of my brand now. They're like, we're not going to ask him for any of his like real opinions. We're just going to ask for the fix right now. What's the plan? We don't want to know your brutal honesty, John.
And then if you ask them, like, why do you need compliments or something, like, oh, I need to be motivated. Well, that's sort of why you're in this position, because you need these external factors.
If you start getting rid of those people and then post that you get rid of those people, you'll stop getting them in your door, I promise you. Like, that's the fucking fix. Anytime you see me posting something like that, like some guy the other day, I posted it. He's like asking me all these questions, and I replied, hey, you know I do this for a living. Are you trying to hire me? And I made a post about it on my story where I was like, this shit is dumb. Like, this is my job. You're not going to pay me for things that you're asking me. You're just going to pay me. And then people stopped doing that. Wow, it's been since then, and I haven't had a single person ask a question like that in my inbox. He just, a lot of the times when I'm posting, he's like, I don't want you to do this. Stop doing it. And then they stop. You don't do that enough for us. You got to start roasting people publicly. Hang them up by the stakes.
I don't know. I'm mean, but I don't like
you. You're way too nice.
I'm too nice. People think I'm mean. I'm fucking too nice.
Yeah, you're way too nice. You will play the 25 questions game. I get frustrated after like three, where I'm like, Dan, this there's some disconnection up here. I don't know. There's this client type where they will send you massive emails, argue with everything that you're asking them to do, tell you that their personal experience trumps whatever your expertise is, and that this drug works for me, this drug doesn't work for me. And I would never assume any of these guys ever took these fucking drugs in the first place. Like, there's just no fucking chance that any of these fucking idiots, are they drinking it? Like, are you rubbing it topically on your skin? Like, there's no fucking way that you could.
My reaction to it, I'll take it. Oh, okay, what are you doing? Well, I'm rubbing it on my anus. Well,
yeah, Yeah, there's just no fucking chance. I don't know. Those are like hand-in-hand things, like big emails about drugs. Their initial interaction with you was talking about drugs, and then they send you photos, and they don't look like they ever have done any of those things ever. It's like a match made in heaven. You've had a ton of people like that, I'm sure.
I don't get a lot of people that are on drugs. So I don't experience that much. I just mainly do like TRT guys.
Amazing. Do you ever ask the question, oh, you're on TRT, and then you find out that they're not on TRT, that they like to call it that, and they're blasting from an underground lab that they bought gear from in a dirty bathtub?
I've had an experience with that where he thought he was doing TRT, and it was super overdosed.
Interesting. I get that where they're like, yeah, I'm on TRT, and I'm like, oh, yeah, like through a doctor or self-prescribed? Oh, self-prescribe. I just do 400 a week just to keep my levels up. And I'm like, holy fuck, bro. You've been blasting for years. Like, let's stop. Yeah. I had a guy like that. I think he paid me like 6 months up front or something. And I told him, like, hey, here are the rules. You have to do blood work. You have to do this. You have to do that. So he begrudgingly finally gets his blood work. I'm like, holy fuck, what are you doing? Like, please tell me what you're doing. Blasting on like 400 of like whatever his like liver values are just dumpster fire bad. It's just terrible. Like, everything is bad about this blood work. And he's like a 40-year-old guy. And he didn't like that. And he's like, I don't think this is going to work out. And like, you don't think me getting your health correct is going to work out? Like, you're not going to make it much longer. He didn't want to check in on time. Didn't want to use his fucking diet tracker. Like, it was just.
I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to take anything.
I'm willing to do anything. How about you diet, wake up before noon, and send me 4 photos? Absolutely not.
Take shit.
Yeah. I'm willing to do anything rarely means dieting, exercising, going for that extra set, going for that extra rep. It rarely means going to the grocery store when you've run out of your fucking chicken, goddammit. But it means I will send Bitcoin to an anonymous drug dealer online, and whatever they send me, I'll inject it into my butt. Horrible. All right, Ross, let's wrap it up for today. Ross, any announcements? Gaines Bakery just came out with the birthday cake flavor.
Flavor Gang, you fucking idiot.
The Flavor Gang, Bakery Gaines Flavor Gang.
But it's funny that you just brought it up because we've been fucking putting this off for 3 years, shipping our baked goods, but I think it's time that we actually do it.
Fuck yeah. I mean, you did that like 5-6 years ago now. You were shipping out those little keto muffins, and they were always bangers. If you bring back those jalapeno cheddar bitches, I'm going to be your first fucking order. Those are so good. I loved those. I ate them for breakfast like every morning.
They're so good.
I would cut them in half, put them in a pan, and like sizzle them a little bit, and then take them off, and they were like browned in perfection.
We serve them at the cafe on breakfast sandwiches and hamburger buns.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, they're fucking good. I can't wait. That'll be cool to ship that shit out. I need to get more sauces from you, by the way. I'm running dry.
Oh my God. Can we just end on this note here?
Sure.
With one rant. Okay.
Please. I've been trying to get a rant out of you this whole fucking podcast, and you're finally going to do it. Get really fucking angry.
Perfect.
Get angry.
Okay, so the people listening here, okay? Can you please stop doing this to me? I'm so grateful that you are so excited about what we do at the Flavor Gang. Okay. I love it. That's
I want you to know I baited you into what you're about to complain about. I just want you to know.
Okay. And I'm just prefacing this. Okay. I love it. This the excitement that is our mission for these people, for you guys to be so excited about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so excited. But for the love of fucking God, okay, if you post a picture of you at your mother's funeral, and I say, hey man, sorry for your loss. I hope everything is okay. And you reply, man, if she would have had more Gaines Bakery Flavor Gang sauce, she'd be alive.
Ross replying to a wedding photo, hey man, congrats on getting married. Yeah man, thanks. Love your sauces, by the way. Ross is so butthurt that his identity is a successful sauce company. He can't fucking handle it.
Hey, keep up the great work. Hey, I'm just trying to even fucking say this. Fucking, just say thank you. Just say thank you. Don't mention anything else.
I just can't wait for the day that a police officer pulls you over. He comes up to your window and he gets your ID and he goes back and it dawns on him that you're Ross. And he somehow knows who you are, and he goes up and he hands you your 16 over speeding ticket, and he goes, hey man, great sauces, by the way, and you have a fucking meltdown right there on the fucking highway. Oh my God.
So then he doesn't give me a ticket, but then I fucking go crazy and I assault him, and then I get thrown
again. Even better, actually. You think you can give me some sauces? I'll get you out of this ticket. Ross harms human being on sideways. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Well, all right. Good shit, guys. Good shit. To any of my old coworkers that I offended by talking about your chunky meat hawks, I'm so sorry, but it's your own fault. If you were the guy that shit your pants and threw the thing away, that's fucking nasty, and hopefully you've changed your ways. Fuck that job, by the way. It's called Teletech. You answer phone calls for Bank of America for like 12 hours a day. It's a miserable job. Anyway, have a good one, guys. Ross, thanks for coming on again, as always. We'll see you next week, guys.
I didn't pee on this one.
No peeing.